This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas and we are very much live on FUBAR Radio. And of course, I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Collin.
And guys, what a jam-packed show we have got for you this evening. We are going to be chatting with one of my old muckers, one of my former co-stars from The Only Way Is Essex, Miss Chloe Brockett. And then we've got an OG Love Islander. Oh yeah, Miss Callie Jane. Mm-hmm. We're going back to Series 1.
Oh yes.
So we're gonna talk all things L.I.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll get all the goss.
Absolutely. All good, your end, sweetheart?
All good, all good.
Love it. I hope you're all well, guys, listening at home. And as you all know by now, we start the show with a little bit of showbiz gossip. And, of course, today is no exception. We've got the lovely Emily in the house, and you're going to be talking all things showbiz, goss, and spilling some tea. Em, what's caught your eye, darling?
Well, funny that you talk about Callie, because we're actually going to be talking about Love Island All-Stars.
Oh. Oh, my God, it's almost like we planned it.
Oh, I know. My God. Who would have thought?
You guys.
Season 2, baby. Mm. It's back. It's only been on 2 episodes, I think. Maybe 3. No, I think tonight's the 3rd.
Tonight's the 3rd.
Yeah, and it's already...
It's juicy. I know. I'm like, this is the first Love Island that's actually went straight into the drama, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm I'm here for it.
They're professionals.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is what you have to remember. This ain't what you ain't going to get this with an original. Do you know what I mean?
So
when
true.
You get all stars, but you know what you do. We know how to make TV.
That's true. Not their first rodeo.
No, exactly.
Absolutely not.
Because the All Stars season 1 was good, to be fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was jokes. I get why they were like, yeah, let's come back for a second. Mm-hmm. But honestly, have you guys been watching it?
Yes. I saw last night that Casey and
Kaz
had an argument because of
Georgia
Harrison, who he was apparently messing around with. Kaz.
Casey literally stepped in and she was like, just went in.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm so divided with it because part of me, I'm like, she's a girl, so I've got her back. I support women's rights and wrongs.
I'm a bit like that.
On the other side, I'm like, he didn't even sit down. And she was like, you're a red flag. You're a piece of shit. I fucking hate you.
So true. At least welcome him and allow him just have a drink first.
And he was like, I thought we got on. She was like, no, you fucked over Georgia. Like, I'm not having it.
I'm here for the girlhood. Like, she's backing up for her friend.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Do you know the thing is? I think for me, I'm like, I don't know what's happened. Like, there's so much stuff that we obviously don't know.
Yeah.
Because where they obviously know each other, like in the real world. On the outside world, we obviously have no idea what's gone on. So as much as we saw like the Georgia and Casey thing from season 1 and the whole dead granddad situation where she was like talking to him and Casey was like, that freaked me out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was iconic.
Yeah.
And the thing as well is there's so much more, which kind of goes without saying, but some people, I guess, maybe don't see it like this, but very much remember, even if they wasn't on the same series together, we all move in them circles.
Yeah.
So our paths cross a lot more. So regardless of what you've seen on screen, that 100-fold has gone down, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
in every aspect, whether it good, bad and ugly.
Yeah.
Maybe some rumpy pumpies, some naughty things.
100%.
It's not just what's been on screen.
No, because even India and Scott, like, we've been friends for years and everyone's like, have you?
Yeah.
Because we obviously don't know. Like, we don't see it. Like, it's been years since they've even met.
Yeah.
So then I think sometimes people obviously jump in the comments, like keyboard warriors are like, rah, 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 rah. And it's like, well, we don't know what's happened though.
Yeah,
no.
Some people think like they leave the villa, they get their EasyJet or other airlines are available.
Yeah.
Producer sends them to Malaga Airport, they fuck off home and then Romeo done.
Yeah.
But no.
You all go to the same Boohoo events.
That's it.
You all go to the same Winter Wonderland.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They would have been mingling for years.
Yeah.
All those Love Island people
absolutely.
Go to the same things.
And also, like you say, this is like series 2 of All Stars. And series 1, obviously amazing and iconic. Like, it's a good format. And I kind of think it's a very good thing that ITV and producers have done, because, I mean, I don't know what ratings are, but I bet it's a hell of a lot more than a traditional series. Mm. Because you always find that, like, when there's a celeb version or something. So this is basically celeb Love Island, really, without calling it that.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's series 2. These guys in there, as you do with any show, once you've seen what's worked before, also that it's found its feet. That was the first of its kind. Like, now people are thinking, right, okay. So I'm not surprised that it's gone a little bit more balls deep straight away before people have unpacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think even people surprised that Ekin-Su returned. So she was obviously like the first bombshell.
What's gone down there? I didn't see. I mean, I've been banged out with the old panto. Because obviously she didn't kind of get the best reaction post celeb Big Brother,
yeah,
did she?
Yeah, she kind of... do you know what? She didn't slander Love Island. That's definitely not fair to say. But she kind of was like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, it was like hard. And she obviously, her and Davide, from what we hear, didn't end amicably or very well.
Yeah.
So her going back on there, everyone's a bit like, huh? What?
She might redeem herself, though. When I saw her coming back in, I was like, yes, girl, you can do it now. Because I feel like after Big Brother, she didn't come off so well. Mm. People were thinking she was a bit fake. They thought she was hanging out with Sharon and Louis a lot just for popularity, thinking that they would look really well on the outside and people would love them and just by association would love her. And I think people saw through that.
Yeah.
So when she came out of Big Brother, people were a bit like, oh, she's fake, she's two-faced, la la la. But actually, I think it just came off wrong. I think she's probably a nice girl, but it just looked bad.
Yeah.
Hopefully she'll redeem herself. Now I could be eating my words here next week, but I feel like she'll redeem herself.
People loved her when she was on it first.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, everyone's like, she's an icon. And to be fair, what I've seen on Twitter, they're like, so glad she's back on my screen. Like, she was great when she was on it the first time. I guess sometimes people just work better on certain formats, like certain different TV shows.
And so she knew what worked for her, I guess, independent. And obviously she went on to win it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so exactly.
It would have been a hard pill to swallow for her, but I think because I can't remember frame by frame, but she'd kind of reference a little bit kind of paraphrasing here, so don't come for me, but was it along the lines of, like you said, she was talking about Love Island a bit in Big Brother and was a little like maybe saying, insinuating, obviously edit, we all know reality TV is edited to a degree, and kind of saying, oh, that's not fully me, that's kind of a character, words to them effect. And then when she'd come out post eviction interview and was sat there with AJ, and I think she'd made a comment about editing again, and AJ kind of called out, was like, well, you've not seen it yet. Basically, your arse has just touched the chair. AJ didn't say that, I'm saying that. But she'd come out, her arse has touched the chair. You're blaming the edit before you've even seen what's gone on. So you can't always, and of course, TV, all TV gets edited, even a soap, a film gets edited. Of course it does, otherwise everything would be 4 months long.
Yeah.
But
people don't like to hear people blame the edit, because it's like, listen, this is what we were
given.
You
said what you said.
Yeah, you said what you said. Yeah. Like, it wasn't an edit.
But,
exactly.
It'd be nice to kind of see whether she addresses that Big Brother stuff. And both are ITV shows, so maybe Love Island might want her to kind of
ITV now, isn't it? I forget that it's not Channel 4 or Channel 5 now.
So watch this space. So let's move on from Love Island, because it's going to be the gift that keeps on giving for the next few weeks. I'm sure we can all agree. What else has caught your eye, my love?
Well, it was still kind of Love Island. Tasha and Andrew split.
Yes.
And everyone's kind of saying Strictly Curse?
I know, it does seem like it. But isn't it weird that they haven't done, like, official statements?
I know.
I think it's maybe 2023/24-ish to do statements now. I think this is now the era where we're not doing statements.
Are we not doing statements? I didn't get that memo.
Well, I don't think we did with Sam Thompson.
Deleting her statement.
I'm waiting for a statement.
Well, we didn't get a statement from Sam and Zara, did we?
Facts.
Right, true. Okay, so it's uncool in 25 to be doing the statement.
to declare anything.
Because people will probably go, yeah, who cares? Who cares? But, like, actually, we all care.
Of course, we're sat here on the radio talking about it. You keep us in a job.
Breaking up,
and then it's just a lovely circle of life.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think Tasha's with her dancer? Because they looked very cosy today.
They did.
They were shopping today in a supermarket. Are they allowed to shop? Isn't that fraternising outside of work? Like, why are they shopping? She looked really happy. She was smiling mad.
Ellen's got so many questions.
Go for it, Em.
What do you know, Emily? Tell me.
That's so interesting. Tasha doesn't give me the hooking up with... Although she is on Raya. Did you see that?
I did, but you're not allowed to screenshot Raya.
No, but if you've got two phones, you can just take a picture of the screen.
Oh, clever.
That's journos in the house, guys. Watch your back, people on Raya. I think we've got time for one more, Miss Emily.
So rumours of the Oscars being cancelled with all their LA fires. The Academy Awards have recently, like within the past hour or so, come forward and been like, that's not going to happen, like it's not getting cancelled. But I'm like, that doesn't mean it's not going to be moved.
Yeah.
And I'm just a bit like... I don't know. The Oscars being cancelled is huge.
Yeah, I feel like it should be moved, though, because everyone is just going to be walking the red carpet with no houses. It's just going to be... They're like, what do I wear?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I feel like it's insensitive, probably.
You've got to read the room. Yeah. There is a very fine line, because I'm very aware, obviously, some people like escapism, and reality TV in general is escapism, and... we don't all just want to watch depression, because life is, let's have it right, it's fucking hard enough. Yeah. We've gone through the last 5 years, we've had pandemics, cost of living, do you know, it's one thing after another, fucking, and then Miss Global Warming, do you know what I mean, comes in. It's a tough one. Whether it would get fully cancelled, I don't think so, just because I don't think it ever has, and it's been on for however many years. It's been on a long time. And it must make millions, if not billions.
It's almost like what we need at the moment. It's
just a bit of escapism.
Kind of like, I don't know, just to kind of, I don't want to say like lightness, because that feels like not the right term, but just kind of like, I don't know. Just
they will probably market too right in some way. They would include it in somehow.
To. But you've got to get, and it's going to be tricky, I think, for producers. But you've got to get that temperature just so right, because there are all going to be people. I'm giving her a future headline here. Oh, I could have been a journalist in another life. I think because you are going to have people that are sat there and their house is just ashes. It's fucking devastating. And then the press are going to be, quite rightly so, like it happens, as you girls know, you're both journos, there's going to be someone that's pictured on a red carpet, and they're going to reference that her dress is probably worth $30,000-$40,000, and her shoes are about $18,000, and there's going to be people that just can't even buy a hamburger.
Yeah, it's so true. Yeah, I know what you mean. It will look a bit like just bad timing if they don't postpone it. I feel like postponing it is the right thing to do. And even have like a little element of something for charity, like a fundraiser, build that into it.
That would be
nice. Something like that. 100%. 100%.
They probably won't do that, but they should do that.
Watch this space, guys. Anyone at the Oscars, you want any advice, get in touch with me. Slide in the DMs, Access All Areas. I'm always here to help. Thank you as always. Miss Emily, always an absolute pleasure. Guys, we're going to take a little bit break, and then we're going to be joined in the studio by my former colleague and friend. We've got Miss Chloe Brockett. We will see you in 2 days.
Access All Areas continues next. Fubar Radio.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, "John McDonnell, has he paid for his tickets?" I went back to the bloke, said, "Yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do." What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The Fubar Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, "I got you, mate"? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you, what's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Now I am joined by Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter. How do you personally stay so motivated?
We are all aging. That is my motivation. Sorry, Gabby. It's the
crying,
truth.
Crying.
And we can't change that, but we can help ourselves and keep our independence for as physically long as possible. It's about lifestyle.
It is.
I have a better lifestyle. That is my motivation.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, guys. We are live on Fubar Radio. I'm Bobby Norris. And my old mate's just turned up. We've got Miss Chloe Brockett in the studio.
Hello. I'm so excited. This is my first time ever on radio.
I know. In radio on general, you've never been on your mate's radio show.
I know. You've really took my virginity today, Bob.
We're absolutely taking it. Which leads me in nicely. Now, obviously, a lot of you guys will know Chloe from, obviously, The Only Way is Essex. You ain't no first time when it comes to reality TV.
No.
You did Celebs Go Dating.
I did. I've done quite a few. I've done X on the Beach. Done Dinner Day. I've done quite a lot of it.
Girl Gets About. So, obviously, there's a lot I want to talk about, especially our times. Because how long did you do on TOWIE?
So, I done about 5 years on TOWIE. 5 years. I started when I was 18, finished when I was 23.
Because you stayed a little bit longer after me, didn't you?
Yeah.
How many series did you do after me?
I'd say probably like two, maybe.
So we must have worked together about three or four.
Yeah. We've done quite a few series together.
And I'm excited to talk about it. I
know. Were you guys in a lot of scenes together?
You know what?
We
me and Bobby did quite
bit,
a bit
yeah.
together.
Yeah.
It was all, you know what, Bobby? I always think about the title. Remember the argument with Saffron?
And yes, in Chelmsford.
Yeah.
Was that the one on the bridge pissing down? Your umbrella went inside out.
Yeah, I looked mental. Yeah. I had a hat on. I was jumping up and down. Bobby was standing there shaking. It was.
Was that your most dramatic scene together? Or was
yeah,
there
definitely.
More?
Bobby was crying. He was going, "What am I doing here?"
So there's a lot I want to talk about that. But I want to start with the most recent news I've seen. A lot of people that also follow you on social media, apart from your career in reality TV, obviously you're very big on social media. Mm-hmm. You've kind of been in and out of a relationship with Jack Fincham, Mr. Love Island.
Yep.
You're back together again now.
Yep.
Which is lovely. We're here for it.
Yeah, we're always like, we always have arguments and I post on my Instagram that we've broken up and then I delete it. So now I basically need to stop doing that. That's my main issue.
So what was the last, obviously you announced, you're a little bit like me, I love it. You put out a little, was it a story or maybe it was a grid post that you put something out about breaking up with Jack and then a day later he was like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that.
So I love it. In the heat of the moment, you just want to, don't you?
But you have to just vent sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I forget how many people follow me as well. Mm. So I'll post, like, you know, pictures of a noodle and go, oh, do you like these noodles, guys? And then people go, love them, Chloe. And I think, you know what? I should just stop posting things like they're my friends. So I'll sit there and go, you know, had a massive argument, don't want to be with him anymore. And then I post it and then he's like, Chloe's a bit out of order. So now I'm probably going to refrain from doing that.
So what had happened that last time, the last breakup that had made you think, fuck this, I'm calling it a day?
Oh, you know what? I couldn't even tell you, Bob. We probably just had a rat and I thought, fuck off.
And he was probably like, I hate your noodle picture
online.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It could have been anything. He could have forgot to take the bins out and I wrote it. So I should refrain from doing that. But then also, he can really get on my nerves.
Yeah.
So, you know, how many people just post that they're not with their boyfriend anymore and then they still are? You know what? I'm like one of their mums on Facebook. You know, when they're like, I'm not with Gary anymore. I'm only on my own. And then a week later, she's back with Gary.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you. So what's the situation? You've recently announced that you're going to be joining OF, OnlyFans.
Yep.
Will your lucky subscribers, will they be seeing you and Jack shagging like rabbits on OnlyFans?
Definitely not. No way. So with OnlyFans, the reason I wanted to go on it was because Kelsey's on it. So Kelsey, you met her, she was on TOWIE.
Yep.
And she was on it. She's making so much money. And I thought, you know what? I looked at her content and thought, this is almost ridiculous for me not to do it. You know, I think everyone associates OnlyFans with nudity, with porn. And sometimes that is the case, but not what I'm doing. All I'm doing is underwear pictures, you know, the messaging people do, like message you on there and stuff like that. And they pay a fee to do so. Mm. And I think that most of the pictures I post on my Instagram anyway, why would I not make money from it? And I think that the amount of money that is made by OnlyFans is crazy. And I think there's a bit of a stigma against that, which I think, you know, maybe some brands, some people might not want to work with me because of OnlyFans, and that's fine because I'm making quite a lot of money from it, so I'm not really bothered.
Are you inspired, and would we ever see you do a Bonnie Blue, so to speak.
Oh, no, definitely not. I think that's a step too far. You know, I think each to their own. She's, you know, I might say she's happy, but from the pictures I've seen, she don't seem too happy.
I've seen her crying on the internet.
1,058 geezers. I'm sure she had a smile on her face, but one of the 1,058. I like to think.
I reckon by about 900, she's fucking gutted.
The first 900 were lovely, yeah.
I mean, each of their own. And I think that the thing is with OnlyFans is so many people are doing it. And I think the positives for me and the reason I do well in it is because I've been on TV, so I've got that platform.
Yeah.
But girls like Bonnie Blue, they're not exactly famous beforehand. So they need to find something that gives them an edge. And shagging 1,000 geezers clearly give her an edge. Yeah. So I think that, you know, that's, they're just trying to sort of create shock value. And with that, they get more subscribers. I wouldn't do that personally. I'll leave that. But, you know, each their own.
What does Jack think?
Oh, good you know question. What? I was just about to ask the same.
He wasn't happy, I'll be honest. When I said about it, he weren't happy. Mm. But I think as we've dealt with things in a relationship, I've shown him the content that goes on there. He's seen it. He's like, you know what, Chloe? You're not doing anything wrong. And I think it's about being open and honest and just having the trust in a relationship. Yeah. I think a lot of the time you go, oh, that's a liberty. That's not right. But, you know, I show him everything. He knows what's going on. And, you know, it's just about being, you know, having trust with each other, really. Yeah.
And how's he feeling about the messaging side of things?
Yeah, obviously he doesn't like it, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's getting paid for it. I'm not messaging someone on my social media, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So will anyone, like, of your subscribers, will there be a time that now kind of Jack's sold to the idea, like, he sees what you kind of put out. Will the girls and gays out there, will they ever see a little glimpse of Jack? Will we get a little bit of Jack's Corey out there? Or will there be like a duo of underwear people?
Are you trying to figure out, you're trying to figure out if you're going to subscribe or not?
Well, I've heard Jack's packing quite full. Allegedly, I've heard Jack's doing quite well down there. Chloe's smiling.
You know what? It will definitely not be on my account. It won't be on mine. My subscribers are there for me and not him. Yeah. But I don't think he would want to, you know, like... Of course, I have someone managing my account and they've spoke to him and said, would you want to do it? And he said no, just because he's got other things going on. And I think that it does, if you're a male on OnlyFans, it does attract a gay audience and he's not gay. So I don't think he would necessarily want to do that.
Sadly.
You know what? I've got a few gay mates that say that about Jackson.
Keep a tight leash on him.
Sometimes I moan about him, he's this and that, but you can't deny he's good looking, so it's all right.
He is a salt. Now, I want to ask you, like, moving on from the OnlyFans, we've got celeb Love Island, All Stars Love Island.
Yeah.
How would you have felt post recent breakup, like you say, on and off, like an orge draws you to sometimes? If it had been that moment that he got a phone call to do All Stars, how would you have felt sat at home on the sofa now watching him in that villa cracking on with other birds?
Well, I mean, it really depends on how long we've been broken up for. So whenever we argue and post that we've broken up, he never moves out. Do you know what I mean?
He's still downstairs.
He's still there. So, I mean, if we've been broken up for months and, you know, who am I to stop him from pursuing a career and taking things further? So obviously it would be heartbreaking to watch, but if we was broken up and we both decided it was for the right thing, then that's only fair for me to let him do what he wanted to do. But, you know, whenever I post it, we really are only broke up for about an hour. So I think that would have been a bit sore.
If he was out fucking off,
Imagine if he was in the villa now and you saw Ek and Sue walk in.
I don't think you want to see Ek and Sue walking anywhere, to be honest with you, let alone a villa. She looks amazing.
She looks
great all the time. But she's a lovely, lovely girl as well. I think when you like actually meet her in person, I've met her a few times, she's really, really nice. Mm. And then in the villa, she comes across so like, you know, not confrontational, but sort of like headstrong and like almost just, I don't know how to explain it, maybe overconfident. But in person, you actually don't get that from her. She comes across really lovely.
So good. She probably puts on this character.
Yeah,
like it's probably a protecting thing for herself as well, isn't it?
Well, no, I know I did that on Tower. You put on a character for a long time, just, you know, or even if it's not a character, you amp up certain aspects of yourself because you know that the viewers like that aspect of yourself.
Why did you decide to leave Towie then? Was that one of the reasons, because you couldn't completely be yourself?
Maybe, like, I think over time, like, you've been on it for 5 years, and I think when I went on it, I was 18, you know, even my voice sounds different, every part about me is different, I was young, and I think that it got to the point where I wasn't enjoying it as much as I used to. I used to love it, you know, it was my life. I wasn't in relationships because I was going on Towie. I wasn't, you know, invested in anything other than the show because I loved it so much. And then as I got older, I just didn't enjoy it anymore. I noticed that the cast around me had changed. All the OGs had gone and I'd all of a sudden become an OG at 23 and was a bit like, you know what, I don't think this is for me anymore, you know? And I think that everyone on the cast was just different and everyone's levels of tolerance to drama was different. And yeah, I just decided it wasn't for me anymore, really. Yeah.
What's your thoughts on the show now? Do you watch it, Chloe?
I don't. No. I see clips, like I haven't watched it. To be honest with you, when I first started on the show, I'd watch it religiously. I loved examining my scenes and seeing, oh, that was a good scene, that was a bad one. You know, I'd watch it like it was homework. Mm. And then the last few series, the last one I watched for me was my Thailand series because my memories of Thailand were so lovely and I loved it so much. It was so fun. And I watched it back and I was like, what the fuck? All my friends are talking about me. This isn't the memories I had. And it was just tainted a little bit for me. So that's when I stopped watching it because I was like, you know what, I'm gonna keep the memories I've got in my head and not watch the bullshit on the show, because it just felt like, you know, it could be I was rolling my eyes at the fact my phone was froze and they'd put it into I'm rolling my eyes at someone, and it just felt a little bit too over edited for me at that point.
What was the moment in that show that tipped you over the edge, the Thailand episode?
Watching my friend talk about me that I didn't know about, you know, and it almost felt like it becomes something that's very like a family, even the ones you didn't like. It always felt like a family and that everyone cared for each other. And then it felt like actually everyone's just out for themselves here and I just didn't want to be part of it anymore. And I think my last series that I filmed, I remember being at Epsom, and like, I haven't told anyone this, but we was at a race course and nothing had happened. It wasn't bad, nothing. But I just looked around and thought, what am I doing here? This just isn't for me anymore. It just didn't feel fun. And yeah, just wanted to take a break. And don't get me wrong, there was a lot of drama and there's a few things I could have done better. Don't get me wrong, and reacted to situations better, definitely. But my problem was I was always too honest and was always like, you know what, I hold my hands up, I was in the wrong here, and it didn't feel like anyone else was. And it was constantly like, oh, Chloe, you're right, you're in the wrong. And I thought, you know, I can't do this anymore.
So you mentioned obviously by that last series in particular, like the race course, and I guess there was an horse there.
There was.
Thailand.
My last series I filmed, the holiday we went on was Cyprus. So Thailand was my second to last series.
And you'd watched that back and
forth. I watched it back and didn't watch it again, and then for the rest of the show, the time I was on the show, I didn't watch it.
So you say it started to feel different. What had something changed? Was it you, or did you just feel that?
I think everything. I think, you know, obviously you know that we constantly have new producers, we constantly have new people working on the show, and I think from the time I started until maybe that series, we'd had quite a lot of the same people around, so it always felt like, you know, we was family and we knew them very well. And then also I changed, I'd got older, so, you know, I was like maybe a bit more cautious about the things I do and the repercussions of the things I do and say. You know, it got to the point where I was arguing in scenes and then I'd go on nights out and people would be rude to me and expect the same response that I would give in a scene.
Right.
And it's not the same, you know. Mm. There's security guards around in this scene. It's a set up structured environment.
Yeah. Mm.
And a girl's shouting at me in a bar expecting me to give her a full Chloe Bean. It's just not going to work, you know. Like, so I think I just, you know, there comes a time when you realise, like, do I want to carry on doing this and being unhappy but staying there because it's comfortable, or do I want to walk away and potentially be heartbroken for a period of time, which I was, because it was my life, it was something I was used to, and adapt and change, and that's what I've done.
Is there any confrontations on the show that you regret?
Probably like the recent ones, like maybe, you know, with like Roman, for example, because it genuinely wasn't, it didn't mean anything, you know. It wasn't an argument I was invested in. It wasn't something that I cared about. We was just mates, you know, and it was so egged up for the show and for shock value that you walk away and think, what have I even done that for, you know? And it just become really like, I become a caricature of myself because I thought that's what everyone wanted from me.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean by that. I funnily enough, I've said them exact words about being a caricature in the end. Especially when you've done something for so many years.
Yeah.
And what I always remember looking at you is because, I mean, you can hold your own, do you know what I mean? Which always helps in reality TV in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to look at you and be like, and not in like a patronised way, but you were so young when you joined that show.
Yeah, I was. When I meet 18-year-olds now, and I think, oh my God, I was 18 and I was on camera, these kids, they look like kids, yeah. you know, they're talking about going to get their nails done and they've maybe just started driving. And I was doing all of these things, you know, I had no money and I was on a cast full of people that was driving these amazing cars and, you know, doing these amazing things. I was just a little kid, like trying to keep up, trying to argue with the likes of Olivia Atwood, who's a grown woman, and actually have no issue with her at all. You know, we've seen her out since, we get along. Yeah. It was just because you're in this environment where you think that's the right thing to do. I know that'll get views, that'll get followers, even if they hate me for it. And I think that you end up just turning to someone you don't really recognise.
How did you find it that age? Because I remember back when I joined Terry, God, and I was there 10 years, so we're probably looking, God knows how many years ago that was. Back then we was getting like between 1.5 and 2 million viewers twice a week, because the show was on twice a week back in the early days. I remember at the age of 24 thinking, fucking hell, because I don't think anything fully prepares you for that kind of, especially the height of Terry's days, how huge that was as a show, and how many countries it was getting met, like Australia would be in your DM, America, and we'd be like, fucking hell. We were just running around having a fucking Barney in the sugar. And we'd be like, who the fuck's watching this? You know, we couldn't really comprehend it. But to know you was doing that at 18, how'd you, because I think being a teenager is hard enough, fucking hell. Like, teenagers just in general is hard. But to know you've got that whole thing going on TV, and then social media, because we didn't have Instagram back in the day. We had Twitter. We'd only just moved on from Facey B. But you kind of always owned your shit, but did you struggle with that?
Yeah, massively. You know, like, I remember going on to Towie and they approached me on Instagram and, you know, it was like, we're looking for a group of people in Essex and young people. Bearing in mind, all the cast were older than us, so we was even confused at how we was going to fit in at this point. Like, how are they just going to shove us in? And, you know, I remember when I first met all the cast, it was at Sheesh, at the launch party. I was, like, so intimidated. Like, these people, like, I wasn't an avid watcher of Howie when I joined, but I feel like even if you don't watch it, for example, I'm not watching it at the moment, but I still sort of semi-know what's going on with the cast. You see it in clips, you see it on the Daily Mail, you know what's going on. So all these people that I've watched for years are just standing in front of me going, you're right, babe, how's it going? Oh my God, like, it's really hard, it's really intimidating. And then you've got social media. You know, I remember laying in bed being 18 and thinking, what the fuck have I done? Like, I've gone from wanting to do this so desperately, you know, it's like, I will go into Howie, it's going to be great, to everyone telling me I was awful, everyone saying about my lips, saying about this, saying about that, you're vile. And all of a sudden I was like, oh man, you're getting 90 quid a day to have the nation absolutely hate me. Do you know what I mean? It was hell. I think over time, you know, what I've noticed is no one likes newbies, whether that be, you know, someone quiet or on any show, no one likes them. It's just a thing. Even I watch it, I go, what's the new one doing? What are they all about? I watch EastEnders, I go, who's that? I don't know who they are. You know, so I understand, I get it. But over time, people grew to like me. And I think it's because I was always just a bit honest. Yeah. If I'd done something bad, I'd done it. If you know, I was just always quite honest. And I think Towie lost that honesty. And that's what made it change for me. It was almost very like, oh, we've got to cover our own back. And, you know, I want to look good. And that's fine. That's understandable. You want to look good. You're showing it to the nation, or maybe not the nation anymore, 40,000 people, but they're still showing it. They're still showing it.
Chloe, it's funny you should mention the Sheesh night, because I remember it so vividly. And by that point, I've got no idea how many years I'd been there by this point, but I'd seen a lot of people come and go, especially my OG lot. Like, I think there was still a handful, I think we fit in one hand, of the old lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But there were still a few of us when you initially joined. And I won't say who it was, but someone that had joined with you at Sheesh, I'll never, ever forget. And this was kind of, obviously I'd watched a lot of my mates come and go, and I kind of thought, it was getting sad, because I could see the show was changing, and I could feel it in my gallbladder.
Yeah.
And love Sheesh, putting it out there, not on ad, but fucking love it. And so having all like my phyllos and the chicken and the halloumi, stunning. If you ain't guys, it go deal, you can sort me out next time, mate.
Hashtag sponsor.
And I wish it was. Anyway, long story short, someone that had joined with you had walked over and they said, fucking hell, I can't believe you're still with Bob. When I used to watch Terry when I was at primary school, you've been here since I was at primary school. And I had like this epiphany where I thought, shit, so you've gone through primary school, secondary school, you've now joined my job. and had the arsehole to come up to me and say, oh, I can't believe you're still here. I watched you when I was at primary school.
Oh my God.
And I felt like I aged 75 years over the course of that.
You were one step away of them saying, oh, my grandmother loves you. She loves you.
Oh, how funny. Would you go back to Terry?
No, I wouldn't. I think there's definitely been moments where I've considered, because I think I like comfort. Most people do. You know, I was there for a long time. I was used to it. I was used to filming on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, getting my mic on and having an argument outside a chip shop. That was normal. And I think that when that was not there anymore, it was almost like, what do? You know, I'm starting rounds with Jack in the kitchen just for a bit of entertainment, you know. I think that, you know, now I've, you know, I know what I want to do. You know, I've got other things going on, like my OnlyFans. It pays me really good money. And I think that it got to the point where the truth is I was only up to Howie for my money. I wanted the money. You know, they was paying well. I've been there a long time. The pay does go up, you know, and it's on tiers. If you're there longer, you get good money. And I was getting good money. And I think that it comes to the point where I thought, you know what, there's so many other things I could be doing to earn this money than feeling this shit. And that's when I knew it was time for me to leave.
Do you know the way you said you felt like you were a caricature of yourself? Mm-hmm. And this goes for you as well, Bobby. When you left the show, did you guys find it hard to kind of discover who ye were outside of the show?
Massively, yeah. Like, a lot, really hard. Mm. You know, from 18, I've been doing this. That seems normal to me. So, you know, going for dinners and people giving you dinners for free and certain things, you just sort of become accustomed to it. You know, I'm not saying I was a princess, but some of the things I look back and think, you know, if I was going to Manchester for a job and I wasn't given a first class train ticket, I'd be like, well, why? And thinking about it, I know. And
where the fuck's my private jet?
I know, and it's funny to talk about now, because even I know it sounds ludicrous. So I'm like, what the fuck? But that was the truth, because I was so used to it. Mm. Now I'm like, I'll drive myself, you know. But it's just, when you're in that bubble of this world that isn't real, you become so used to being treated in a certain way. And when it stopped, I was almost like, all right, well, no one's outside my door with a camera, so what's happened here, you know?
I think it's a really funny one. I'm interested to know your thoughts on this, Chloe, because, and again, this is just reality TV in general, so it's not having a pop up Terry in particular, but obviously the show's edited down to however many. By the time you take your ad breaks out, you're looking at about 44 minutes for a show that is on for the hour, and you can't, they have to follow a narrative, a story. But did you ever find it was kind of hard? So it's really, I'm picking my words carefully here, that to try and get the truth across of something that had happened, when someone's looking you in the eye and saying it didn't, so to speak, you know it's the truth. When you know people around you, whether that's people one side of the camera, the other, both, trying to be like, well, that's not the case. Can we try? And you're kind of, you're gagged in a way of going, but that's not quite the...
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, I was always so conscious of going like, you know, it's almost this thing where you don't break the fourth wall. You don't mention that you're on camera. But towards my last series, I was like, for fuck's sake, you said it fucking last week, you know? Like, surely there's camera proof of this, you know? Yeah. And that's when I knew, I was like, I can't do this anymore. You know, it was just, you know... What I loved when I first started was everyone was honest, whether that be like Olivia Atwood. She was honest. She was like, you know what, like, I argued with an 18-year-old. I thought you was in the wrong. It was honesty, you know. She got so much hate for that. And all she did was say her opinion.
Yeah.
But she stuck it out.
Yeah.
And it almost felt like it was like, you know, just people constantly trying to cover up what was being said and what had been done. And in the end, I was like, this just isn't for me anymore, because I feel like I'm lying to myself. The people watching know me. The people... they've watched me grow up from 18 to 23, and now I'm acting in a completely different
and
way.
And you've evolved. And when you know it's Wednesday and someone's telling you it's Friday, and you go, no, it's Wednesday, and then there's that split moment you go, is it Friday?
Yeah.
You think, no, I've got a bounce.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? When you're questioning, Chloe, thank you so much. I knew you'd be honest. I knew you'd keep it real. Best of luck with OnlyFans.
Thank you.
Quick shout out to our listeners. I'm sure the guys at home are sat there with semis. Where can I get the link to the spicy?
The link is on my Instagram, guys. Click it in the bio.
Perfect.
And if you want more PG stuff, just follow me on Instagram.
Follow it all. Thank you, Co.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Right, we're going to take a little break, guys, and we'll be back in a two. Ta-da.
Access All Areas continues next. FUBAR Radio.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani and Zoe Grunewald.
What would you be advising the Labour leadership to do at this point?
My view is just apologise. I went to the theatre last night. I'm with my wife and family, and as I'm walking, a bloke says very loudly, John MacDonald, has he paid for his tickets? I went back to the bloke, said, yeah, I did pay for my tickets, and I always do. What that whole ticketing thing and all the free gifts thing doesn't just damage those individuals, it damages us all, because they all think, oh, they're all the same, and we're not.
You're listening to Foobar Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Foobar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for Foobar Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The Foobar Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum.
I'd love to ask for people that look at you. What's one tip you would say to someone that potentially wants to be a future Chancellor of the Exchequer?
I guess I would just encourage all people, but particularly young women, because I'm the first ever woman to be Chancellor of the Exchequer, and the post has existed for 800 years.
Oh, wow.
Just to say to all young women and girls, there's no ceiling on your ambition. You can achieve whatever you want. Aim high, dream big, and you can realise your dreams too.
What the Hell with Gabby Allen.
Now I am joined by Faye Edwards, international fitness presenter. How do you personally stay so motivated?
We are all aging. That is my motivation. Sorry, Gabby. It's the
crying,
truth.
Crying.
And we can't change that, but we can help ourselves and keep our independence for as physically long as possible. It's about lifestyle.
It is.
I have a better lifestyle. That is my motivation.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, guys, and we're going from one reality icon to another. We are joined by Love Island OG, Miss Callie Jane. How you doing, Callie Hun?
Hi, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Really good, thank you, darling. Thank you for joining us.
No, that's all right. I have just got out the bath, by the way, so here we are.
Oh. Well, you look...
Thank you for joining you.
You look sparkling clean.
Yeah, I'm always obsessed with your eyes. Whenever I see your eyes, you've got the best eyes.
Striking. Oh, are we going to see you as a bombshell over the next few weeks?
Definitely not. I'm happily engaged.
Oh.
I'm getting married next year. So, yeah.
So your fiancé would be shocked if you were.
He'd have the arsehole probably if you rocked up, I reckon. What's your thoughts on the whole concept of All Stars? If you was single, is it something you'd be interested in returning to? Because obviously the show's, when you look back at Series 1 now to where it's evolved to, it almost feels like a different show.
Yeah, completely. It's been 10 years, like this year, so it seems a little bit crazy, and I can see how things are very different. And I think it's great, like the All Stars. I think it's really fun. People like to see the familiar faces. But yeah, I still like the original, because it's hard for me to watch an All Stars because, like I said, being, you know, in the industry 10 years, I know a lot of them personally. So
yes,
it's so strange to see them all on TV and then thinking, oh, actually, could that person go with that person? I'm not too sure. But for me, probably not. I don't think there's anyone in there, if I was single, that could possibly come in there as an all-star, that I would be like, interesting.
Are you watching the new series?
I am, yeah. I can't not. It's just one of them things I feel like I have to religiously watch. And again, a few of my friends are in it. So, yeah, supporting them.
Has anything shocked you so far? It's only been 3 days, but we were just saying it's wild already.
Yeah, to be fair, I was expecting it to be pretty calm. But I caught up on last night's This Morning, and I wasn't expecting Ekin-Su to go for
Curtis.
Curtis. I thought she was going to go for Scott.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
So I was a bit thrown by that. And if not Scott, I thought she was going to go for Ronnie. So that really threw me. I didn't expect that at all. But I feel like that actually could be quite a good match now I think about it.
She did say that she knew Maura Higgins and that they actually lived in the same building. Are they actually mates? Because that's going to be hell awkward afterwards if she's kissing.
That would be awkward. Yeah. But I feel like Maura's onto, you know, her other things possibly, so I don't think it'd be something she'd be fazed by, to be honest.
True. There won't be catfight after it.
What's your thoughts on Lou going back last year?
I don't really know, to be honest, because it'd be nice to know.
Was you not told in advance? For anyone that's listening to this, guy, so you and Lou had a thing, and he went into the first original Love Island All-Stars last year, just to bring anyone up to speed. So you didn't get the 411. There weren't a memo to say this is the situation.
No. I mean, it would have been, I would have just liked the heads up because obviously we have a daughter.
Yeah.
So for me, it was just kind of that, you know, respect to keep your regular contact and just to then not kind of know he could have gone for 8 weeks and I wouldn't have, you know, being none of the wiser, I just kind of said he was on holiday. Because again, I didn't know. So I think there was a bit of, you know, things coming out in the press and like questions and things like that. And I would have been more than supportive of him finding a partner. But obviously it came out that he already had a partner at the time and that was very involved in Vienna's life. So I did find it a bit of a shock, to be honest. And it obviously left me dealing with complications on the outside, which wasn't fun. But yeah, it is what it is.
Did you speak to him afterwards? Did he apologise? What was that conversation like?
Wasn't really an apology. It was just quiet, like for quite a while. I think he could see where my frustrations were, but I think he managed to sort things eventually with the girl he was with before, and they're, I think, back together. Like I said, I've got like a 7-year-old, so she, you know, regularly lets me know things. So yeah, I think it was probably a mistake to go on his part. So I've heard that he said it was a mistake, but you know.
And what was your little one's reaction? Because a lot of kids now do watch reality TV at a young age. Kids have devices. So it's gone are the days where you actually need your mum or dad or your guardian to allow you to watch something at home. They're going to watch it. They're going to see it. You know, I mean, their friends have got a mate. They've got tablets. Yeah. They've got phones.
Even YouTube Shorts.
Was there stuff at school being said? Do people know you're her parents? I'm guessing so.
They do. But I live like quite a long way. So you know, he's not that regular where her school is. So it wasn't really brought up. And obviously, you know, she has a bit of a strict bedtime. So she wasn't around at 9 o'clock. And I just kind of said, you know, he's on holiday at the moment as to why he wasn't turning up to pick her up and things like that. So she wasn't really, it wasn't really affected in that sense. Obviously, she just wondered where he was. But she's very aware of the fact of a Love Island TV show, and she, you know, she's aware that she was the first Love Island baby, and she goes, "I was the first Love Island baby, mum."
Oh.
So she's kind of aware of it without being, you know, that involved in it, if that makes sense.
I wanted to ask you, because it's something very close to my heart, and I'm sure we've spoke about this before in the past. It's like being an advocate for mental health and people speaking out about it, which is something we use our platforms for, you and I. What's your thoughts on now, as years have gone by, on all reality TV shows. And I guess probably, I'm assuming TV in general would like to think, certainly at least saying that they're taking duty of care and mental health slightly more serious, or that it's being looked at. What's your whole, when you look at mental health and being in the public eye?
I think, do you know what, it's always important to put, you know, your mental health first. And I think things like such big TV shows now, like Love Island, I think people think more about sometimes the opportunity that they may get from the show rather than being in the right position in their life or being in a stable headspace. And we've probably all been in positions where we've felt at like low times, and that can get from bad to worse quite quickly, especially if you don't have, you know, a good support system around you and a lot of people, you know, encourage people to talk. And I think that's great. And I'm so open for, you know, people sharing and stuff like that. And the online as well, it's a lot of pressure. I think people don't really think much about that. And, you know, if they're going to be perceived bad, again, like we know, it's reality TV, and sometimes you can be painted a certain way to maybe, you know, who you really are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's sometimes the worrying thing. So as long as you're kind of in a mentally stable position to be prepared for that, or kind of see already, you know, the backlash and things that kind of happen online. And I think that's maybe good with the All-Stars cast, the kind of, they've been there, they've done that, they're used to it. They've done it once, they can do it again. Whereas for someone going in the first time, to an original Love Island, it can be pretty intimidating.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you mentioned your little girl earlier as well. Do you think it's acceptable for people to go on the show that have a child?
I do, yeah, because I wouldn't like to think that, you know, people would be discriminated against finding love because they have a child. I think, you know, there's like Hannah was on there as well, and she had a little one. And I think as long as it's not affecting the child in a certain way, like some people have, you know, really close relationships with their family. Like Vienna was extremely close to my mum when she was young and raising her. She spent a lot of time with my mum when I had to work away and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think as long as, you know, your child's happy, like, why not? Sometimes it's just an opportunity that people think, you know, they want to find love or they want to boost their career. Everybody has kind of their own reasons for it. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, it's acceptable. I would say so.
I literally have just got time for one last question, but I just wanted to quickly kind of to get your thoughts on what we're talking about online and social media. Do you think, because a lot of us, or some of us, speak about it quite openly and use our platforms, do you think the audience on the socials, and I'm sorry, I've got like literally less than a minute, do you think people are getting kinder online, or is it getting worse?
I personally think it's getting worse.
I do.
I think, you know, it always seems to be when there's some, you know, a tragedy that everybody seems to come out with their just be kind. Yeah. Doesn't last. And I think it's such a shame.
It's so, so
sad. And I
think
people have to remember the difference between having an opinion and attacking someone's character.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you. I'm so sorry to have to cut you out, but we literally got to go out of the show right this sec. Kelly, thank you so much, babe.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Take care. Bye, darling. Thank you for listening, guys. We'll speak to you next week. Same time, same place. Bye.
Bye.